Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Camps are almost here. Just today's NFL news tells you that. I mean, there's just a lot already going on. The two big quarterback stories Joe just went through, we will cover those and more here. Sal Capaccio with us on the West Her Hotline. Sal, Warren Sharp just had a tweet about Green Bay because there's this report that Rodgers wants Randall Cobb back. And Warren tweeted that Randall Cobb is the only wide receiver that was drafted by Green Bay since 2010 that's still in the league but not on the Packers. Like, every other wide receiver they've drafted in 10 or 11 years, I mean, the guys from this year wouldn't be on other teams yet, I know, but if there are any, but like, they're just out of the league. And I count five, by the way, of the Bills. Like, so what does that mean? What's like an average number? I don't know. But I'm looking through the drafts and I can count five. I find five NFL receivers drafted by the Bills since 2010 that are still in the league, but on other teams.
Five receivers since 2010 drafted by the Bills, still in the league, but on other teams. Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins. Let's see. Who else would we have here? On the spot, I can't think. I'm sure that there are...
Zay Jones.
Yep.
Zay Jones. Good call. Yep.
Joe, you just mentioned one of these guys to me a minute ago off the air.
Marquise Goodwin.
He's in Chicago.
Yep. Like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. He's coming back. That's right. Yep.
And
Lewis is not.
Des Lewis, I don't believe. Ray McLeod, I believe, would be one. Too, that he's still in the league. Or he was, right?
There
Pittsburgh?
Yep, and yep.
All right.
I still think he still is on the Steelers, yes.
Yep. All right, so we're all interested in the Rodgers situation, Sal. Like, what do you think here?
Well, I've said many times with you guys on the air, I mean, this guy, just drama everywhere with him. There's always drama. He seems to need drama, want drama, seek out drama. And I've believed that that's been the case here all along, except the only difference to me with this case is he put himself with so much drama that it was almost there was no way out of it. Well, guess what? Looks like he's not only getting out of it, but he's going to get a lot here. Like, if everything I'm reading from Adam Schefter over the last several minutes is, you know, what's going to happen here, essentially the end of Rodgers' career Packers career this year, and then he can kind of basically walk away for nothing. It just seems pretty ridiculous and crazy to me that could be what happens here. So, sure, I still hold to the fact that, you know, it's drama with this guy. But, hey, man, if this is his exit and what he gets out of it, that's an amazing pull by him.
I may have missed some of the details that you're referring to here, and I bet our audience would like it to be filled out too, Sal. So what is the very latest from Schefter? Is it possible here or probable, likely, that Rodgers plays this year in Green Bay and then they're not going to trade him? He'll just leave? They're going to let him go choose a new team?
The 2023 year in Aaron Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal, would be voided with no tags allowed in the future. So apparently next year would still be on the table, but they will review his situation next year. So they're kind of like looking at maybe next year being that year where they'd have to do that. So sure, they could trade him next year. That could happen. Or they could want Aaron Rodgers to play one more year to try and win, and then they won't be able to do anything. They're going to be in a tough spot maybe when it comes to that.
How good are they this way then? So like, yes, they were in the NFC Championship game and the year before. Are they number two in the conference behind Tampa if Rodgers plays? What are they?
I think if Rodgers plays, they are number two in the conference, yes. I think they're still good enough. I don't think there's – I might put them number three behind the Rams. Okay. I think the Bucs deserve to be one or maybe two at worst. But the Bucs and Rams, to me, seem to be the best two teams. So I would put them number three. I think the Rams are just overall a better team. They have more talent, especially now getting Stafford. I think he helps them. But either way, I think those would be the top three teams in whatever order someone might want to put them. I wouldn't put them number one. I'd probably put them number two or maybe number three.
The quote from Schefter as, quote, tweeted by Tyler Dunn, now that I'm seeing that, the Packers' agreement to review the situation after the season implies that the team will trade Rodgers if he still feels the way he has about the Packers' culture and decision-making. No time to do the draft over and just draft all receivers. Maybe they can trade for Randall Cobb. That should make all the difference. All right.
Well, credit to them. They stood firm in this stare down with him, and I didn't expect that they would, but they have. And as weird as the arrangement may seem to a lot of us, I mean, Sal, does it not seem odd to have someone be the way Rodgers has been this offseason and then show back up and play, but it's only for one more year? The whole thing is just, it's really unprecedented and very odd.
Yes, but I guess anything with this guy just doesn't seem to be out of the ordinary, right? It's just always weird stuff that's going on, or I don't know. It just kind of seems like that. There's always something percolating. So you're right. I mean, from a football standpoint, from a business and organization standpoint, yeah, that seems pretty odd. I understand that they, you know, want Aaron Rodgers on the team and that they feel that he's obviously the MVP of the league. He's great and they can win with him. You have to ask yourself the question, though, given this situation now, or the fact that maybe they could just trade him now and get on with the future and get whatever haul, maybe that would be the better play for the organization going forward, as opposed to basically putting themselves in the same position next year.
Yeah. Sal Capaccio with us on the West Her Hotline. All right, we'll get to the Bills as they start camp later this week. How about Watson, though, first? So that was pretty surprising to hear that Watson was planning to report in Houston. He has still not been charged with any crimes. He has, of course, been accused of many. He has not been put on the exempt list, right? So he was able to walk in, and he's more likely to get his money this way. The Texans reportedly now are ready to move him. What do you think of this?
Well, they are reportedly still asking, like, the moon, the sun, and the stars. I mean, so I don't know if they'd be able to get that, but it always appeared that they would have to do this at some point. I think the legal situation is still something that obviously every single team has to think about. Every single team has to monitor and know what's going on. So we don't know where that stands. But he was never going to want to lose out on that money. I thought that he could definitely sit out, but then report at some point. So he, you know, winds up getting credit, and you know, he could still get a chunk of the money that would be owed to him. But that he's there, he doesn't get fined. You know, he'll play this out as long as he has to be at least, I'm just here so I don't get fined in that situation. And I find it interesting now of who could step up. The one team that's been really talked about with them lately has been the Eagles. And they do have the draft capital to be able to do that. That's interesting. But I've also found it super interesting that Jeremy Fowler over the weekend on ESPN mentioned the Miami Dolphins again. And the fact that Xavien Howard would be a really good fit in Houston, and that could be some sort of package to get Deshaun Watson to Miami. Now, he also mentioned that, you know, we don't know what they feel about Tua. But think about all the things we heard about with the Miami Dolphins back several months ago being linked to Deshaun Watson. Here we are again with a renowned reporter on ESPN saying the Miami Dolphins could be a team that could go after Deshaun Watson because they have the draft capital and this player in Xavien Howard that would fit really with the Houston Texans. So I think that all of this is super intriguing.
I just cannot fathom the timeline on the legal stuff is like probably not till after this season is over. As far as the civil lawsuits go,
yep.
There's a lot of reporting that's been consistent for a long time now that a settlement is likely not happening because Watson refuses to agree to non-disclosure. In other words, he wants to settle, maybe would like to settle, but wants to be able to tell his story and divulge what had happened. And I don't think that's agreeable to the other side. So a settlement doesn't seem in order. And I mean, isn't it obvious? How could a team take on a player with 22 outstanding civil litigations against him for sexual misconduct? I can't imagine a team making that trade. I mean, congratulations, Houston, for finally figuring out that you're probably going to have to trade this guy. But I just don't see how anybody could take that on right now. I know about innocent until proven guilty and all that, but it's just not. I just don't see how you could possibly do it.
And on top of that, at any point, he could be put on the commissioner's exempt list. Even if you're, kind of comfortable with, letting the proceedings play out or whatever and how all that's going to go. At any point, the NFL could step in and say, look, we're not comfortable with it. We just can't let him play. And then you're left, kind of holding the bag of, oh, wow, we just traded for this guy and gave up all of these assets. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be something that every team has to think about. Now, on top of the legal part of it, every team is going to have their own investigators and investigations that are going to be talking to people. So there's a chance that a team could be super comfortable with whatever they find out. It doesn't mean they're right, but they could at least take that leap of faith, so to speak, in their own investigation and say, you know what, we're good where this is going to go. But again, you never know. There could be something else that happens, or the league could step in and wind up saying, hey, we don't want him playing. So I think that's a huge risk.
Well, Miami is interesting. Any team is. I mean, any team would be interesting to talk about for this idea. Miami, so I think that the assumption would be that whoever the team is, their quarterback would be traded to Houston. And so maybe Tua would be traded to Houston. What does that do for this year? Like, there is still very much a non-zero chance Watson misses time. Like, if they were to load up for that trade the way we thought they might before all the allegations came out, Sal, they were 10-6 last year. Like, they were close, and now they loaded up at receiver. You do Watson for the long term and maybe the short term if you know he's going to play, but you do this for the long term because you would expect to get like 10 years out of him. And maybe teams would sacrifice a year basically for that outcome. But I don't know. It leaves Miami. It would leave Miami in a very strange position. Like, Fitz is gone. Like, what happens to this year if they do that and Watson does sit?
I agree. I don't know. And, Miami made that deal on draft day. They had the thing that went down with San Fran and Philly and all that kind of stuff. And I think they're basically in a position now where they've given themselves 1 year to evaluate Tua. I think they want that 1 year to evaluate Tua.
Me too.
Now, Deshaun Watson, to me, is a special talent. He really is. But I think the Dolphins are, they've decided we are going to take this year and evaluate this guy. We owe it, and we have to do that. And let's take a look at how they've run their organization, the coach that they have in place. He just screams to me that this is what their plan has been. So good for them. I think that's the right plan. That's what they should do. They might have swung and missed on Tua, but at least they're going to give it a year in the second year here to see what it is. And they're in a position now that if it doesn't work out, they can then draft the guy. And that means they don't have to rush into doing something like Watson. As good as he may be, they can either A, draft someone next year with the draft capital they've acquired in these other deals, or B, maybe Watson's still available at that time. And like Bulldog said, now we're at least to a point a year from now where we maybe have some more clarity on the legal stuff.
Yeah, I think everything that Mike just said, the last stuff he just asked you, Sal, is why this trade to me, I mean, whatever. I'm over here thinking Rodgers was definitely going to get traded, and now he's not. So maybe I'm just going to get everything wrong for a little while here. I don't know, but I just can't fathom a team making this trade with the potential for the guy to not even play for them this year. Like, there's the specter of trading for someone who's accused of what he's accused of. And then there's the reality of that leading to him perhaps not playing. I don't think either one is manageable from a PR standpoint. Like, you don't want to give up all that stuff now and then have him sit there all year and not play for you, trade away your quarterback, basically junk your season. I mean, come on. There's just no way a team could do that unless they know he's not going to be put on the exempt list. And I don't know, you know, maybe the teams have intel that we're not going to have from the league about the potential for that to happen. But, man, I can't believe something happens with this guy, other than he just shows up at Texans camp and doesn't get fined.
Especially a team like the Dolphins that has playoff, if not division aspirations, right? I mean, this isn't a team that's in rebuilding mode, and, you know, if we lose, we lose. We're okay with that. Now, I could see a team like the Eagles. I still agree with you that you still wouldn't do it, given all the surrounding that we just talked about. But I think the Eagles would be more a team in that type of position that says, hey, look, the asking price is a lot lower now. If he clears all these legal situation and he's good to go, the asking price might get a lot higher. You know what? Let's do this, and we're just going to bank that, you know, we can have this guy play for us after this year because we might not be that good this year. Now, I don't know if that's what they think about their own season, but at least it's a team that, to me, the Dolphins are a team that they want to win. They think they can win. Yeah, and if they if they have to unload all the things it would take, including their quarterback, and then he sat, you basically just gave up on a year in which your fans and media all think that you can challenge for the playoffs.
It's all just so hard to stomach. Like, I understand, like, logistically and theoretically what you're talking about, but, like, worst case scenario, what you're describing is the Eagles as a franchise trading for someone who, you know, worst case scenario is a serial sexual predator because the price is low right now. Like, that's right. Unbelievable. Like, that a team could be I just can't imagine a team allowing itself to act that way publicly. It would blow my mind. I'm not denying that he's an intriguing talent, but, man, I just think you are asking for it to rain forever on you if you make this trade right now.
I always thought Carolina was – they were always my pick for Watson. Oh, I just remembered that game we played predicting the quarterback carousel is not complete, I guess, yet. I always liked Carolina for him, and I feel like Denver should be mentioned. I know it's like Miami and Philly, but – We know that Denver was moving on Rodgers, who's out now. Like, that's not possible. Like, they have their guys still that they would have upgraded from if they could have with Green Bay. Like, how's Watson different? Watson's different because of what we're talking about. Like, his situation makes him different. But without that, you'd much rather trade for Deshaun Watson than Aaron Rodgers, I think. Like, he's but 10 years younger, maybe more, whatever he is. Like, that's how I feel. So the Broncos are I think the Broncos deserve to be mentioned in that. And maybe so does Carolina. It's so cool. Like, Carolina, Philly, Miami, I guess Denver, all those guys have – those teams have interesting quarterback possibilities, least so Denver probably. But they're all sort of question marks, and the team has really just not made that firm commitment.
Yeah. You know, for all the teams that were kind of thrown out there, put in the hat, whatever. You know, we got some clarity on some. I think San Francisco's one of them, right? We know what they did. San Francisco went out and they, you know, drafted their quarterback of the future. We didn't get clarity on others. What does Denver think about their quarterback situation? We're not really sure. I think even though we just said, Mike, we think that the Dolphins want to give Tua this year, are we sure that they are super invested in him? Like, we're not really sure about that either. The Raiders, I think the Raiders are an interesting team still when it comes up for this sort of discussion. Like, do they really think that, you know, Carr is the guy and they want to stick with him, given the division they have and all the things that they have to go through? So, yeah, I think that that's really interesting how some of these teams we still don't have any more necessary clarity than we did when all of this stuff started percolating.
Let's talk about the Bills here for a couple minutes, right? Probably a good idea. So it could be, anyway, a very interesting week and maybe challenging in certain ways. What's the schedule and what are you expecting?
Players report tomorrow. Media will not be on hand. It's not something that media will have access to. So, you know, maybe the Bills' social media will tweet some stuff out, guys arriving, things like that. We'll see. But Wednesday, we will have practice at 10 a.m. I'm going to guess that Sean McDermott is going to speak, you know, before practice, as he typically does. Usually, actually, I think it's McDermott and Bean the first day of practice, but I would expect at least one of them, probably McDermott, on Wednesday, maybe both. And then, you know, we'll have some players afterwards, but it's going to be your typical training camp type of schedule. Practice will be at 10 a.m., be a couple hours, hour and a half, 2 hours. We'll hear from some players afterwards. It'll look a lot different this year, which, you know, will be nice for people like me and the media who, you know, will be able to have in-person interviews instead of just doing Zooms with everybody all the time. And they're going to practice at 10 a.m. pretty much every day. You got that one that's going on Saturday for the fans. Otherwise, in case people don't know and you're finding this out, even though practice is here in Buffalo at Orchard Park, you know, fans aren't going to be allowed at practice other than those open practices. There'll be a couple of different Saturdays and a Wednesday.
Right, and those are ticketed events, right? They're free, but you got to get a ticket, right?
Yes, you can get that from their website.
Right. Before you go, Sal, any use considering Chandler Jones asking to be traded from Arizona?
I love the player. I think that if you were going to design a scenario on Bills are one player away, what do they need? They can get over the hump. Like, they're that close to Kansas City. What do they need? Like, that's the guy. Like, that's a guy right there that you say, put him on the Bills. That could really be the difference between them beating the Kansas City Chiefs or not, or getting to the next round and going to the Super Bowl. But he is scheduled to make $15 million in a base salary. Mm-hmm. His cap hit in Arizona would be $20 million. But in Buffalo, a base salary carries a $15 million hit. The Bills, as of today, I looked, according to the NFLPA's public salary cap report, they only have $9 million in available salary cap space. Now, that's not pennies, but it's not enough to afford your $6 million under. They'd have to do some serious maneuvering. Now, granted, they could trade for him, have him restructure a new contract, and they could lower that cap hit. But are you really going to lower it enough to be able to still afford him without maybe offloading guys like a Jerry Hughes or a Cole Beasley or a Mitch Morse, like important players on your team who have high cap hits, but you'd have to do things like that.
Sal, thanks. We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, guys.
There you go, Sal Capaccio on our Wester hotline, and his appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.